Good morning and welcome to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich. Despite the promise of near 40 degrees today, it's winter, and the more typical daytime temperature right around now is 20 to 30 degrees. Last week at this time, with a wind chill of negative 10, many of us were hard-pressed to even go outside and get the mail, let alone go for a walk. Winters in Ohio are cloudy and snowy or slushy, and downright sometimes not fun. But joining me in the studio today are three people who are going to try to convince me, a self-confessed winter hater, to enjoy this weather. This is the season to try bundling up and giving winter a try, taking a hike, cross-country skiing, sled riding, snowshoeing. Joining me in the studio today is Ohio State Parks Public Information Section Manager Jean Bax. Welcome.
Thank you, Amy. It's great to be here. Let it snow.
And also joining me today, Columbus Dispatch travel writer Steve Stevens.
Hi, Amy. I love being here, and I'm going to try to find some indoor places for us
to go.
Okay.
I will stay indoors. And maybe trying to get us outdoors is Columbus Outdoor Pursuits Winter Activities Chairperson Glenn Beachy. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks to have us.
And basically, I am a winter hater. I will admit that. I don't like being cold. I absolutely hate being cold. So maybe you can try to convince me that hiking is worth it. Jean, tell me about an intriguing winter hike.
Well, if you're not inclined to go by yourself on a winter hike at a state park, which, of course, is a wonderful, rejuvenating thing to do, you might be interested in a guided state park hike. The granddaddy of all winter hikes is this weekend, tomorrow, at Hocking Hills State Park. It's the 45th annual Hocking Hills winter hike. It takes off from Old Man's Cave and takes a 6-mile trek through Cedar Falls and then to Ash Cave. And if you've never seen Hocking Hills in the winter, you've never seen Hocking Hills. Ice formations, icicles in the caves are absolutely gorgeous. And there's warm bean soup.
So at the end of the hike, you get something warm?
Yeah. Actually, you don't even have to wait till the end. You can get bean soup at Cedar Falls.
Okay. Is that something our listeners, if they're listening right now, can they still register for, or is it closed up?
No registration required. All you need to do is show up at the Old Man's Cave area parking lot, which if you've been to Hocking Hills, that's the big spot. Mm-hmm. And there are continuous starts between 9 and 11 a.m. So you show up, wander to where the group is forming, and hike with some friends.
Go ahead, Steve.
And even if you are a winter hater, if you're a nature lover, you do have to do a Hocking Hills hike in winter at least once. I mean, when the icicles are frozen and the waterfalls, I mean, it is just, it's amazing. And I've been fortunate enough to do a couple. And I'm one of those indoor winter persons, but I'm glad that I got out at least once to do Hocking Hills in the winter because, those ice formations are just glorious.
Now, tell me about the temperature for tomorrow is going to be – it's supposed to be partly sunny and 40 degrees. So that's probably not as cold as winter hikers might want it, but it sounds nice to me.
True. You wouldn't have to bundle up as much, but mm-hmm. you'd want to be sure to wear good sturdy shoes or boots that are fairly waterproof and have good gripping soles because you'd still encounter some ice. There are microclimates. There are a lot of hemlock trees down in those fabulous gorges because, you know, they're ice age remnants. It stays cold down there all the time, even in the summer. It's pretty cool. So you'd still want to watch your step and bring drinking water along with you, dress in layers. So if you get warm, you can peel off a layer or two. And probably hypothermia is not going to be a big risk for folks this weekend, mm-hmm. but you still want to come well prepared.
Well, I'm sure that you've done this hike. If this is your big hike and you always do it over this weekend, in the past, it's probably been cold for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Honestly, in 45 years, they've had everything. So, yeah, it would be nice if the weather hadn't warmed up quite to 40. It'll be a little muddy, honestly. It'll mm-hmm. be a little sloppy, but the ice will still be beautiful and it will still be there.
And Glenn, why don't you tell us a little bit about, have you been hiking at Hocking Hills? Do you have
experience
there?
Oh, yes, many times. Yeah. Ash Cave is a really magical place in the wintertime. Once in a while, that ice will form all the way from top to bottom. And our avid hikers in Columbus Outdoor Pursuits, a lot of them now are using hiking poles. It's not a sign of a weakness, but especially for this hike, coming up, I would think, if there's some still ice and then there's melt on top of it, it'd be pretty slippery, and it might be a good idea to have some short poles to help you navigate.
Is that something – yeah, tell me a little bit about hiking with hiking poles. Is it just – it helps you, you know, get your footing and
– that's probably the main reason people mm-hmm. use them. There is a new, relatively new activity that people do in the summertime, started in Scandinavia like a lot of things, called Nordic walking, where you use poles not just for balance but to actually as a form of propulsion like you would cross-country skiing. And they make special poles for it, and there's instructional videos on DVD or on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it gives a little bit of an extra upper body workout, and you can pick up your pace, your speed of walking, without really feeling like you're doing any more effort.
Okay. So would you recommend maybe if someone's going to Hocking Hills tomorrow, since it's kind of like the today and tomorrow will be like the melting days, would you recommend, you know, good shoes or like you don't
yeah,
necessarily
I second
need...
on the waterproof shoes because mm-hmm. if there's some sloppy stuff out there, if it's just ice cold, sometimes that's better. You know, if it's snowing on you, that'll brush off. But
yeah.
if you get some of that freezing drizzle, that can be a little nasty if you don't have rainwear and good boots.
Well, what's your favorite temperature? Do you like it when it's really cold or do you like it when it's...
Depends on the activity. Mm-hmm. If I'm cross-country skiing, I like it actually around 20 degrees.
Okay.
When you get down below zero, it's a little hard on the lungs to breathe,
yeah.
breathe hard. And when you get up closer to 30, it's hard to get the right wax. To get a good grip on the snow. A lot of people use waxless skis now, and conditions like we've got today where it's melting, those really come into their own using waxless skis.
Well, we'll talk about cross-country skiing in a minute, but Glenn, first, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Columbus Outdoor Pursuits is?
Well, Columbus Outdoor Pursuits is an organization that's been active here in Central Ohio for about 70 years. Our former incarnation we considered ourselves part of American Youth Hostels, AYH. We disaffiliated from them back in the 90s. Now we're a separate freestanding organization. Mm-hmm. We don't manage youth hostels, but we do all the outdoor activities, and we are a 501(c) not-for-profit.
Okay.
So we have a large educational component. We teach people boating skills, canoeing and kayaking. I give cross-country ski instruction.
Okay.
We have classes in backpacking and hiking and in bicycle safety. We put on wilderness first aid responder classes. We'll bring in expert instructors from out of town to lead some of those classes.
Okay. So, and while we're talking about it, we could say your website is it's
outdoor-pursuits. .org.
We do have that posted. If you go to wosu.org/allsides, we have a few links that Glenn gave to me before the show. We have a few links posted of some winter activities and a few – you can see the winter activities calendar for Columbus Outdoor Pursuits. And I think we're going to get a link up there for Ohio State Parks. But why don't you give people the website for Ohio State Parks?
Sure. That's ohiostateparks.org.
Ohiostateparks.org.
Yes. And in addition to that Hocking Hills hike, there are several other hikes. There's one at Mohican on Sunday, another big winter hike, and other activities going on. So, yeah, that would be great. We have a pretty busy event calendar also.
All right, and you can always go on your own. That's always
that's
good, too,
true.
If you're an experienced hiker. Sometimes it's better to get that solitude out there in winter. And you're going to find a lot of it because the trails are fairly empty except during these organized events.
That's true.
You definitely don't need to just go to, you know, an organized hike at a certain time. I mean, that's why the state parks are there. They're open for people to visit.
That's right.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurovich. Joining me in the studio, travel writer for the Columbus Dispatch, Steve Stevens, Glenn Beachy with Columbus Outdoor Pursuits, and Ohio State Parks spokesperson Gene Bax. We'd like you to join the conversation. What is your favorite winter activity? 614-292-8513 or emails to allsides@wosu.org. What's your favorite winter activity here in Central Ohio or anywhere around the Buckeye State for that matter? Convince me to enjoy the great outdoors. 614-292-8513 or emails to allsides@wosu.org. Now, Steve, the quintessential winter activity is downhill skiing.
Sure, sure.
Ohio, not really known for mountains.
Well, you need some, elevation to ski. But despite that fact, there are five public ski resorts, we can call them, in Ohio.
Yeah.
And right now is a great time because we've got the snow. They all have snow-making equipment, of course, and they rely heavily on that. But they do have the slopes out there. And obviously, you're not going to get in your car and drive for half an hour and get to a 7,000-foot vertical drop. But you can get out there and do some skiing. And for example, Mad River Mountain.
Mm-hmm. Mad River Mountain is the closest one to Columbus, right?
Less than an hour away.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about where that is, what you can do there.
Well, it's up Route 33 on the way toward Bell Fountain, and you can go and you can ski. And they've got slopes for beginners and experts. You can take a lesson. And, of course, they've got rental equipment. So if you don't have your own equipment, which many people in Ohio don't have, but you just want to get away for a day of skiing, you can go. And something that the folks, when I was doing the story, pointed out that I thought was a very good point. Even if you like skiing, the big slopes, say you're going to go to the resorts out in Colorado or Utah, you need to get your ski legs under you. You need to do a little bit of practice first. It helps to actually get on the slopes and do some runs before you get to the top of the 13,000-foot mountain and then look down. Even if you're an experienced skier, you still got to get those ski legs under you. And these are great places to do it. They're also great places to learn. So for kids and for folks who might not have skied before, I learned by going out to Colorado and tumbling down a 13,000-foot mountain, but
so you wouldn't maybe recommend that.
Well, I actually didn't tumble down. Okay. I took a lesson or two, but this is great and close to home, and so don't discount it. Even if you're an experienced skier, consider some of these Ohio places just for a fun day, or maybe to prepare for that trip out west or to New England.
Well, I'm assuming that in the winter people can't travel out to Colorado every weekend,
exactly,
so they
got to
get their skiing in somewhere.
So and if you're...
we have Mad River Mountain. You said it was only 45 minutes away, right?
Right. Just up Route 33, and you can't miss it. You look out, and there's some people skiing off the side. Well, there's people skiing there. That must be it. If you're in Ohio and you're seeing people ski, it's probably one of these five places.
It's the only thing uphill.
Right,
yes.
Exactly. So.
A good friend of mine was talking about how she is from Seattle, and she's an avid skier, loves downhill skiing, but she just moved to Columbus, brand new to Columbus, and she went to, as she called it, Mad River Mountain in quotes, mountain, she with a question mark at the end. But she said she had a wonderful time. It was great. Just the slopes weren't overly crowded,
sure.
The way that ski resorts get.
Right, and the lifts are not going to be too crowded. On weekends, they can get a little more crowded, like they can anywhere at any ski resort. But again, they're a great place to have some fun out on the slopes.
Do you know whether if it's 40 degrees like it's going to be this weekend? I'm assuming they just continuously make snow. Does anyone know that?
Yeah, they've made snow. Well, they had a good weather for it, for a good base, and then this can still be good ski weather. The conditions of the snow vary, and I'm not an expert, so you might want to give them a call. Or most of them have information on their website about the conditions currently.
Well, at least it wouldn't hurt your lungs the way Glenn mentioned earlier, trying to ski in 0-degree weather. Well, you're listening to All Sides Weekend, and we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with your calls and emails in just a moment. 614-292-8513 or emails to allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides Weekend on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from Thurber House, presenting Evenings with Authors guest Jane Annie Phillips, reading her latest novel, Lark and Termite, Tuesday, January 19th at the Columbus Performing Arts Center. Tickets at thurberhouse.org.
Well, as you've been listening, it's going to be a nice weekend, cloudy with a slight chance of drizzle today, high around 38, overnight low of 33. And tomorrow, some sunshine with a high around 43. Sunday, clouds with a chance of rain and freezing rain throughout the day, a high around 40.
On your drive home, get local updates with the award-winning WOSU News Team.
If there's any good news about people seeking shelter in Columbus, it's that the numbers have not grown much over previous years.
We're seeing very typical demand compared to prior years so far, which is about 7,500 people a year.
Hear the latest in local and national news with All Things Considered on WOSU 89.7 FM.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich. This morning we're talking about enjoying the great outdoors right here in your own backyard this winter. And we'll also discuss a few warmer travel options later, I promise, Steve. We'll get to a few cabin getaways as well. In the studio, Columbus Dispatch travel writer Steve Stevens, Ohio State Parks Public Information Section Manager Gene Bax, and the Chair of Winter Activities for Columbus Outdoor Pursuits, Glenn Beachy. To join the conversation, 614-292-8513 or emails to allsides@wosu.org. And we're going to go to a question from Adam. Adam, what's your question?
Yes, I don't have a question. I have a comment about the hike on the Old Man's Cave.
Okay.
I want to caution anybody who is not familiar with that area. When there is a lot of snow and the weather is cold, temperature is really cold, is the best place to go. But days like this, considering that a lot of crowds, they come to that area to enjoy themselves. That's one of the worst places to go. I want to caution anybody that they go, there is mud up to your knees, and sometimes it's not really good. It damages the trail because a lot of people, they go there. You know, 35 years ago, it was the best place to go, but because of the crowd, probably that's not a good place for when the temperature is around 45, 50 degrees.
Okay.
I just wanted to caution everybody.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that comment, Adam. And Gene, maybe you can give, is there places that maybe wouldn't be as crowded that maybe Adam would want to try? Another state park?
Sure. We have beautiful trails really all around the state. Certainly in the snow belt in northeastern Ohio, you're likely to find more deeper snow that sticks around a little bit longer. Things can get slushy when you have a lot of people on the trail at the same time. You might want to take your own trip in a few weeks. Of course, you can't control weather conditions,
right.
So you get what you get when you get it.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, a weekend like this is a three-day weekend for a lot of people, so people may be more inclined to head outside for a day over this weekend. But I'm sure you would not dissuade people from giving it a try, even if it is a little muddy.
No, I certainly wouldn't do that. No, if you're inclined, I think it's a fine thing to do, and, you know, you can always, if you get so far and you decide it's not for you, you can always turn around and go back. I would want to emphasize that it's important to stay on trails.
Mm-hmm.
There are trails there for a reason. And trails aren't maintained for hiking. Well, I guess I should say they're not groomed for hiking in the winter. The trails are maintained, certainly, but we certainly don't salt them or shovel them. They are what they are, trails
right,
in the
right. Well, that's a part of the appeal for going to a state park is you try to keep it natural.
Yeah, one fun thing to do if you're hiking a trail with kids is look for tracks in the snow. See if you can see where the birds and the critters have been.
You also have a hike hike that is for bird watching. You have a few of those, too.
Yeah, there's a bird watching hike coming up later this month. I believe it's on the 23rd at Houston Woods State Park, and that's in southwest Ohio. So who knows what the weather will be by then, but there's a good possibility there won't be any snow in the southern part of the state by then.
Is that an Audubon-connected event, or is it just the state?
You know, I'm not sure. The park naturalist may have partnered with Audubon on that, but I don't really know.
And, Gene, folks might want to know also, doesn't Ash Cave have a paved trail?
Yes.
You can actually, at Ash Cave, which is beautiful, and it's especially good for, and I don't know how about this time of year, but it's great for folks in wheelchairs, strollers, folks who might have some mobility problems, that Ash Cave paved trail is a great place at Hocking Hills.
Yeah, once the snow and ice is gone, but it's there's still some cool weather around, that would be a great place to go.
And if you want some more information, you can visit wosu.org/allsides. We have links to Columbus Outdoor Pursuits, and we have links to the Ohio State Parks website. You can check out all the things we're talking about if you know, are driving and can't write this down. Don't take your hands off the wheel. And Glenn, let's talk a little bit more about cross-country skiing. I know that locally a lot is done at metro parks.
Yes. The trails at High Banks, at Prairie Oaks, Patel Darby, Blendon Woods, almost all the metro parks have some trails that are open for cross-country skiing. And in addition, most of them, if there are horse trails, if there's sufficient snow, they open those up for cross-country skiing as well.
Okay, I didn't know that.
In the summer, they're closed for hikers.
Right.
So that will expand the trail mileage that you can get and some of the scenery you might be able to see.
And you were telling me before the show that the snow for the past few days has just been perfect for cross-country skiing.
Yes, we've been in cross-country ski heaven for about the last 10 days. I've had a lot of calls and emails from our members and people who want to join so they can rent the ski equipment that we have to use around here. And they mentioned about the wheelchair access. Going outdoors in the winter is also accessible for people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend I'll be skiing with blind people up at northeastern Ohio. We're staying at Punderson Lake State Park. We'll ski there, and we'll also ski over at Chapin Forest. And I sent you the link about that place. That's a real good place to
ski. Okay, so that's cross-country skiing, and you're
leading
the blind.
Men? Okay. Yes, they match us up one-on-one. Ideally, you're in a place where they have set tracks, where they go through with a machine and carve grooves in the snow, in the packed snow.
Okay.
And a blind person can get in the tracks, ski independently. They don't have to hang on to you.
Mm.
You just have to ski along beside them and offer some guidance.
Okay. And that's something you're doing this weekend?
Yes, with the American Council of the Blind. And then in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I'll be going out to Utah to ski with Ski for Light. That's another more of an international event where there will be skiing at the former Olympic site.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
that's a lot
great.
Of fun.
Yeah.
It's a whole week of skiing.
Well, we do have a question about cross-country skiing. Sorry if I pronounce your name wrong. Adelaide? Are you there? Okay. I think we're going to ask our call screener to tell Adelaide to listen through the phone, turn the radio down, because I think that we're listening to you talk on the radio there. But if I'm going to just guess what Adelaide's question was, they wanted to know about equipment rental. So if you don't own your own skis, how can you help, Glenn?
Well, the equipment that Columbus Outdoor Pursuits has are available to rent for our members anytime they want to do it. They can pick the skis up and go wherever they like. If you're not a member, you would have to be on one of our events.
Okay.
And then you can rent the skis.
Sign up for an event, an organized event.
Right,
okay.
Yeah. Last Sunday, we skied out in Licking County at one of their parks. And we got about 30 people out and rented out all the skis and all the poles and all the boots and had a really good time out there.
That sounds great. So do you have more of those coming up, or does it really depend on the weather?
That's the last one we have that's actually scheduled on a particular date in Ohio. Next weekend, we'll be going out of state to Pennsylvania for a weekend event that we do every year at a place that's a little lodge. We can get about 30 people in there. They've got ski trails right out the door. And that's a very popular event. They've probably got about 3 feet of snow or more up in that area.
Is that the event you have in Wattsburg, PA?
Yes, Wilderness Lodge.
Okay. Where's Wattsburg? How far from Columbus is that?
It's about 20 miles east of Erie. It's just over the border from
Peak and
Peak.
Oh, so we're heading north. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, they should have a little bit more snow up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're at a nice elevation up above the lake and far enough off the lake that the moisture comes up and then drops and stays there early and stays late.
Okay. And now we have Todd on the line. Todd, do you have questions about downhill skiing or cross-country skiing?
This is about downhill skiing, actually. First of all, I just wanted to say about Mad River, I am an avid snowboarder, and I go there a lot. It's a really great little ski area to go to. They've got a terrain park and, you know, lots of good stuff. So even though it's not out west, it's a really nice place. But my question was, you know, even though we are in Ohio and sometimes ski resorts are a little slim, I know there are a lot of great places, you know, within a day's drive that you can take a weekend to. And I was wondering if perhaps, you know, you guys could tell me anything about that or any, you know, good places to go for a weekend away.
Okay. We will ask our panel about that. Thank you very much, Todd. I know that I could plug, I'm born and raised in Pittsburgh, I can plug Seven Springs. So
I was there with one of my older sons last year and had a great time skiing. And I don't ski very well, but...
I don't ski very well either. I fall more than ski, but the lodge is very nice at Seven Springs,
is.
I will tell you that.
And it's not not a bad drive from Columbus, so that's a good place. There are also resorts in West Virginia, some other Pennsylvania resorts,
Downtown Columbus to downtown Pittsburgh is 3 hours, and then from Pittsburgh, Seven Springs is probably another hour and 20 minutes. So I wouldn't recommend a day trip. That would probably be a little extreme, but maybe an overnight, a weekend getaway.
And as you say, there's a good place to stay there. They have a nice lodge, and the prices are not outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
They're Midwestern prices, not out west prices.
Yes. So, Glenn, would you like to recommend anywhere besides? We talked about Wilderness Lodge in Wattsburg.
Well, down in West Virginia, there's the downhill resort, Timberline and Snowshoe. And if you're out on a downhill ski trip, I recommend you take a half a day, get a lesson, get some cross-country skis, and try that while you're in an area that has snow. And down in that Canaan Valley area in West Virginia, there's a place called White Grass, which is just an awesome place to ski. And you find a lot of the downhillers are doing some cross country, as you say, to build up their legs and their wind, so that when they do the downhill skiing, they're not challenged by their own abilities to stay out there all day.
Okay. And Steve, we talked about Mad River Mountain. Why don't you tell us about there are 5 ski resorts in Ohio. So why don't you tell us about one of the other 4?
Well, there's also snow trails up near
Mansfield.
Mansfield, thank you. What was I talking about? Mansfield. And then there's also Brandywine and Boston Mills, which is right in the heart of Cuyahoga Valley National Park, which is in itself is a beautiful place, a great place to go and spend some time. And so you get the added bonus of having a couple ski resorts right there in the park. And so those are also nice.
Is my understanding that that's a 2-for-1, like you buy a pass?
Right, exactly. They're only about a mile and a half away from each other. They're separate resorts, but the lift tickets work at both, and they're operated by the same folks. And so you really get 2-in-1. So if you want to ski and then for a while and try the other out, then you can.
And I guess, I don't know if anyone knows this, the snow kind of stays around more the further north you get. There's probably more snow than we have here, right? Anyone been north?
Right. Yeah, I understand at Punderson they had 3 feet last week, so I'm not sure what the status is as of today. But, yeah, that snow belt really gets a lot of snow.
The lake effect snow. Yeah. There. And let's see, what other questions do we have? We have Rod on the line. Rod, what would you like to know about Columbus Outdoor Pursuits?
I was planning to go on the Hocking Hills winter hike this weekend. Unfortunately, the person that I was going to ride with, I don't have a car of my own, and the person I was going to ride with fell ill, so she wasn't able to make it. And I was wondering if Columbus Outdoor Pursuits might have, or somebody else, you know, might be able to, give me a ride down there, you know, for the hike.
Or you could always hike down.
Event. You
could.
Steve is recommending that you hike to Hocking Hills.
That'd be a long hike.
Glenn, do you have any organized activities this weekend?
No, I don't believe we do. Not for hiking or cross-country skiing. We offer a New Year's Day hike in the same area using some of those same trails.
Okay, so
a smaller group.
We missed that one. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be the best thing. You might send an email to the hiking chair at Columbus Outdoor Pursuits, and he might be able to find out if anybody from our organization is heading down there for that for the state parks trip.
All right, Rod. Well, check out outdoor-pursuits.org and see if maybe that can help you out a little bit.
Yeah, you can just send an email to hiking@outdoor-pursuits, and that'll go right to the
leader. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
And I'm sure Gene wants to get you to Hocking Hills if you want to be there.
I do. And, Rod, you know, if you can't make it this weekend, you know, certainly the trails are always open. There's also February 13th, they have a hike to Ash Cave with lighted luminaries. It's an evening hike. It's a Valentine's hike. And I understand that people really enjoy that hike also. It's a really nice ambiance.
Okay. Well, maybe you can wait till next month, Rod.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
And you're listening to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich. This morning we're talking about the great outdoors here in Columbus. 614-292-8513 or emails to allsides@wosu.org if you'd like to ask our panel about winter activities in Ohio. And we do have an email from Dorothy. Where is the best place in and around Central Ohio to snowshoe? Dorothy wants to take lessons and also rent equipment. Silence. Okay. Snowshoeing. Anyway.
Well, snowshoeing is one of the activities that we do with the Columbus Outdoor Pursuits. It's more of on a ad hoc kind of a basis. When there's snow, we have snowshoes to rent for our members again.
Okay.
In Central Ohio, generally, you don't really get enough snow to make it worthwhile to transfer from hiking boots to snowshoes.
Tell me what the conditions need to be for snowshoes.
Really, for the snowshoes to come into your own, in my opinion, you need to have at least a foot of snow or more. Then you have the advantage of the snowshoes. You still sink in the snow. People think you just float on the surface like you're an elf from Lord of the Rings. But you will sink in some, but you won't post hole all the way to your hips.
Okay.
The way you would in your your hiking boots.
I see. So whenever you take that step and you clunk down and sink down. That's
yeah,
what it prevents.
Okay. But the new equipment is so much better. The strapping systems hold nice and tight. It's a full base to it instead of the mesh like the old old tennis racket type snowshoes.
Mm-hmm.
They're lighter weight. They have aluminum frames. They make wide variety of sizes so you can match your weight to the conditions you're going to go in. If you're going to carry a pack, you want to allow for the weight of the pack, too, if you get snowshoes.
Okay. Would you recommend to Dorothy to either wait for it to snow, wait for our next blizzard here in Ohio, here in Central Ohio, or maybe head a little north?
I would think the Cuyahoga Valley National Park would be a really good place to go snowshoeing. I don't know if they have equipment up there, but you could contact me next week about equipment we have that's available.
Okay. And Gene, is there any snowshoeing in any state parks? Do you know?
Well, certainly you would be welcome to go snowshoeing on the same trails where you're allowed to go cross-country skiing.
Mm-hmm.
But there aren't any parks that I'm aware of that would rent the equipment.
Okay. You're listening to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich, and this morning we are talking about winter travel. And we're going to have to take a short break. We'll be right back with your calls and emails. What is your favorite place? Where is your favorite place to enjoy winter in Ohio? And what activities are you going to be doing over this upcoming long weekend? 614-292-8513 or emails to allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. I'm Amy Jurevich. This is All Sides Weekend on WOSU 820, NPR News.
Close the door. On the next Fresh Air, we remember Teddy Pendergrass. He died following a bout with colon cancer. He was 59. Pendergrass was known for ballads like Close the Door, I Don't Love You Anymore, Turn Off the Lights, and Love TKO. He got his start as the lead singer of Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. Join us for the next Fresh Air. Close the door.
Fresh Air is coming up today in just about 20 minutes here on WOSU 820 NPR News. WOSU's News and Public Affairs Director Mike Thompson moderates Columbus on the Record this evening on WOSU TV. The program features well-respected journalists and veteran political observers offering insight and analysis of the top stories of the week. Watch Columbus on the Record tonight at 9:30 on WOSU TV. Today we have cloudy with a slight chance of drizzle until late afternoon, high around 38. At least it's warming up. Currently it is 38 degrees. Tonight, clouds with a low around 33. Tomorrow we should have some sunshine returning with a high around 43. And Sunday, clouds with a chance of freezing rain throughout the day, unfortunately, high around 40. Weekend Edition brings you perspectives on the week's news with in-depth reporting, interviews, and commentaries. Tune in for Weekend Edition Saturday and Sunday mornings starting at 8 a.m. on WOSU 89.7 FM.
And welcome back to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jarovich. Joining me in the studio is Gene Bax of the Ohio State Parks, Glenn Beachy with Columbus Outdoor Pursuits, and Dispatch travel writer Steve Stevens. 614-292-8513 or emails to allsides@wosu.org. And Bob, you've been waiting a long time. Thank you. What's your question?
Well, first I wanted to thank you for covering this subject. I'm too old to do the things that you're talking about now, but I used to be avid cross-country ski camper in Upper Michigan and woke up one morning at 25 below zero. It was cold. But I want to say the quintessential winter thing can't just be skiing, downhill skiing. It has to be that whatever you can do the most of in any particular area. Some people climb mountains that can only be climbed in the winter to avoid boulders falling on them. So
okay.
I guess I'm just saying that's one thing. The second thing I'd like to ask you is, this is the number one thing I noticed when I moved to go back to Ohio 10 years ago about parks, and that is that there's this state park and that one, and you know, but they're so small, you have to drive one to the other. And I wonder what your people there might think about that Yellowstone to Yukon argument, and if they're familiar with the book.
I've heard of that, yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for that comment, Bob, and we will get some comments from our panel. Anyone have anything to say about state parks and connectivity?
I think he was talking about making corridors that would allow you to go from one park to another.
I see.
I know they've done that over in Dayton in the Five Creeks Metro Parks. They've connected two metro parks so that you can actually do backpacking and go from one to the other and have like a 20-mile weekend backpack event over there.
I'm sure Gene would love as much land as possible to connect.
I would. And you know, that is a great idea. And I think there are inroads, lots of places around the state where that's feasible to do. I'm thinking Buck Creek State Park connects to the trail system that runs through Greene County and that goes to the Little Miami Scenic Trail. It's a little tricky in Ohio. We have a lot of parks, and we also have a lot of land in private ownership, and we have a lot of municipalities. It's not quite the same landscape that you have out west. There'd be a lot of property rights issues you'd need to work through and rights of way.
At least as far as trails go, though, Ohio is making an attempt to we've got the Rails to Trails program. They're doing the Greenways Initiative here in central Ohio, where we're adding more trails connecting the metro parks, especially along the waterways. So on a small level, more of that is happening.
We've got the Buckeye Trail, too, which actually has a long history and makes a whole circle around the state.
Okay. And Bob mentioned, you know, the quintessential thing of winter is whatever you do the most of. So I will talk about sledding and snow tubing, because I like, you know, the activities that keep you nice and safe. not necessarily. I just tend to fall whenever I ski every time. Hard falls. So, Jean, let's talk about sledding and snow tubing a little bit.
Yay! Sledding is one of my favorite things to do in the winter, too. It's really family-friendly activity. You can take your little toddlers. You can take teenagers. Anybody that can sit down on a sled can go do it, and that is an awful lot of fun. And quite a few of our state parks have sledding hills. Delaware would be the closest to the Columbus area. Dillon State Park has a great sledding hill also. Mad River Mountain, I think they now have inner tubing down, careening down the hill on an inner tube. I think that would be a blast. So on the state park's website, there is a link to winter recreation if you want to find out all the places that have sledding hills. But, you know, what a great old-fashioned fun activity that really, I'm kind of with Bob. I think that might be, for me, the quintessential way to enjoy winter. You can stay out of the snow if you're good at it. You can get in the snow up to your eyebrows. it's just a fun thing to do.
And a lot of ski resorts now offer snow tubing or sled riding as well.
I think that all of the ones in Ohio do because, mm-hmm. again, we're not exactly a hotbed of skiing. So if you want to go out, have some fun, get some speed going downhill, but, you know, you don't want to go through all the learning and tumbling down, or you have smaller children, or you just want to have a blast, mm-hmm. That tubing, you can find that at most of Ohio's ski resorts.
And what ski resort have we not talked about yet? We did not talk about Alpine Valley. Where is that? In Geauga County, right?
Yes, it's up actually right in the heart of the snow belt. And so, again, they have, like all the Ohio resorts, they have snowmaking equipment, but you might get a little more natural base there and a little smaller resort. But I understand it's quite a nice place.
614-292-8513 or emails to allsides@wosu.org. Tell us your favorite place to enjoy winter in Ohio or what activities do you have planned for the upcoming long weekend. And I promised we would talk a little bit about some indoor things
Yay!
To do.
I'm with you, Amy. I like that the little warmer things to do. So.
Yes, and you are doing an occasional series for the Columbus Dispatch called In for the Night. And right. It's a series about where you're touring some inns.
Right, some B&Bs or small inns mm-hmm. Around the state and the region. And we've got some great ones. And I was just at a place called Mansion View Inn up in Toledo. Very near the Toledo Museum of Art, which is a wonderful art museum. That's something else great to do in the winter when the weather's bad. You can visit some of our cities. We've got some great destinations, indoor destinations, especially in some of our urban areas. Toledo Museum of Art is one. Right down the road was the Mansion View Inn. Beautiful old 10,000-square-foot mansion with just Ooh. Eye-popping woodwork and you can spend the night, have a great breakfast. And it's right in Toledo's Old West End neighborhood, which is one of the, if not the largest collection remaining in the eastern U.S. of Victorian, Queen Anne, and arts and crafts styles homes. So there are many, many blocks where many of these old homes have been preserved. There's a walking guide you can take, see some of the architecture, see some of these beautiful old places. Visit the museum and stay at the inn. It's a great winter trip.
And I know that Ohio is just full of inns and little hidden bed and breakfasts. I mean, they're just everywhere. I can give a plug to one of my favorites in Yellow Springs, the Arthur Morgan House.
Oh.
That's one of my favorites.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to try it.
You've never been there.
I haven't been to the Arthur Morgan
Fabulous breakfast, and it's right in Yellow Springs, which is a great place to just walk around a little town if you've never mm-hmm. been there. It's a great little town, a town full of nothing but mom-and-pop shops, and there's a state park right there, right, Jean?
Yes, there is. There are a couple of state parks right there. Yeah.
Clifton Gorge there is another great place Beautiful. To hike in the wintertime.
Yeah. If bed and breakfast sounds appealing, inn sounds appealing, you could also stay at a cottage at Buck Creek, a two-bedroom vacation cottage, and you can make day trips to those areas.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about cottages and state parks, because the last time you were on, we were talking about, it must have been the last season, so we were talking about where to see the fall leaves and that kind of thing, but those cottages are still there in the winter, and they're waiting for people to, you know, cuddle up with a book in them.
Oh, yes, they are, and they're very cozy. They have, most of them have gas log fireplaces, big TVs. A lot of them have DVD players or VHS players if you want to bring some tapes. They have complete kitchens, so you can cook for yourself if you want, and two bedrooms. A lot of them have one of the bedrooms will have bunk beds with a double bed on the bottom and a single bed on top, so it's pretty comfortable to share with another couple or another family. We're offering winter specials right now, but you could gang up and defray your expenses a little further. And several of the state parks that don't have lodges but do have cottages, for instance, Buck Creek, mm-hmm. they're very affordable rates. And then the state parks that have lodges do also have cottages available, same format. But yeah, they're sprinkled all around the state, and they're really good home bases to enjoy a park or enjoy some of those museums in the area.
So you can be both cold and warm. So you can be warm in your cottage in the state park, and then you can go out for a hike for as long as you can stand it, and then you can go back inside.
Exactly.
And joining us on the line is Bruno. Bruno, what's your question?
Okay, I don't know. I didn't tune in at the very beginning, but I was wondering if anybody talked about the hikes, the Metro Park hikes, their winter hikes.
We did briefly talk about that, but we can talk about it in more detail. Glenn, why don't you tell us a little bit about Metro Park hikes or just using the Metro Parks in the winter?
Well, we do use the Metro Parks in the winter quite a bit for cross-country skiing when that's available. That is, the Columbus Outdoor Pursuits does. I'm not familiar with all of the different activities that the Metro Parks themselves host.
I know they have a lot of organized hikes. They have their Commit to Be Fit series. Bruno, do you know about some of them?
Yeah, in fact, I'm looking at the their website. There is a hike tomorrow at Scioto Audubon, which is on Whittier Peninsula, and it's a two-mile hike. It starts at 10 a.m. on Sunday the 17th at Prairie Oaks. At 2 p.m., it's a 1, 3, or 5 miles, and then they meet at Darby Bend Lake. On the 23rd, Saturday the 23rd, down at Clear Creek at 10 a.m., there's a 1, 2, 3, 5, or 7 mile hike.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And on the 24th, here in town at Inniswood, at 2 p.m., there's a 2 mile hike. And then in the southern part at Three Creeks, there is a 1, 3, or 5.5 mile hike at 10 a.m. For people that really want to get more information, go to the Metro Parks website, which is metroparks.net.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that information, Bruno. And I'm sure there's a lot of great organized hikes. But even if you don't want an organized hike, the Metro Parks are always open, so you can go and visit them anytime. Thanks, Bruno.
Okay.
And there are also some sledding hills at Metro Parks. I know one near my home at the Battelle Darby Metro Park. They have a nice sledding hill there. They've also got some great kids programs. My kids were just at Prairie Oaks for an owl program, and I got to learn all about screech, bard, and great horned owls. And those are the three kinds we have. And I learned that from my four-year-olds after they went to the Metro Parks.
You see, everyone is learning something. And Carl is on the line. Carl, what's your comment or question?
I guess Glenn Beachy shouldn't remember Jeff Havens, one of your kayaking nuts. Anyway, he reminds me that winter, ice, and snow are just a toy to some of us.
That's right. Yeah, we do look for these things to fall so we can get our skis out. They don't work so good on the streets.
Well, I think, you know, that's the way to think about winter is, hey, it's here, finally, whoopee, you know. I would like to also recommend Granville.
Okay.
There's two downtown inns that you can, I think, stay in and have a wonderful meal. Granville Inn and the Buxton across the street from that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Carl. And it sounds like Carl is trying to convince me to think of snow as a toy so that I will enjoy it when it's snowing and not look out my window and say no.
But he was also offering you the possibility of a nice inn
exactly.
in the wintertime. So
exactly.
there's that indoor thing again.
We also have an email from Tom. Is there anywhere local to ice climb? Ice climb. I don't know about ice climbing.
I don't know local ice climbing, but all of the activities that Columbus Outdoor Pursuits hosts are active year-round.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own climbing wall out mm-hmm. in Licking County that's heated. And we have events there, and we also have boating events where you can learn to your kayaking skills indoors in a swimming pool with supervision and instructors. So that's another option for you if you want to stay inside but still be active in the wintertime. And it definitely beats those seasonal affective disorder conditions that people get. But ice climbing, boy, I'm not sure about that. You'd probably have to go out west for something like that.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a kind of intense kind of activity. I don't know. And we do have an email reminder from a listener who says, wear helmets to prevent head injuries when sledding, skiing, tubing, snowboarding, etc. So we're getting the warning to wear a helmet.
Good advice. I always wear one on the slopes. I might look goofy, but, hey, it's better than being injured.
We have a few more minutes.
Actually, I look good.
Helmet is sorry, good.
We should not say that you're going to look goofy in a helmet because we want to encourage that.
Yes, 614-292-8513 or emails to allsides@wosu.org. We have a few more minutes, just a couple more minutes to talk about winter activities. What is one other mention that anyone wants to get in? Jean, do you have one more mention for the state parks?
Sure. I really, really, really like the idea of making a weekend of it. Stay in a cottage or a lodge. The lodges are also offering special events and great rates. Gosh, winter syrup season is right around the corner.
Oh, tell us about that.
starting at the end of February, if you're looking for an end of winter event, several of our parks have maple syrup festivals. They tap the maple trees and they boil it down and make syrup. And you can sample some, buy some, and take it home with you. It's a really fun thing to do.
Well, that sounds like a nice winter activity. And Steve, do you have anything you'd like to recommend?
Well, I don't get to write about things close to home real often, but I just going to have an article about a great inn I just discovered right in Columbus on the Near East Side. It's been open less than 2 years, the Garden Manor B&B, I think gardenmanor.net, an incredible history, an incredible architecture. Near Franklin Park Conservatory, which is another one of my favorite places and another great winter destination right close to home. So if you're looking for a little bit of a getaway, we do have some B&Bs and inns right here in town. You don't have to drive across the state to find a good one.
But it still can be an escape to get away from the house for the night?
Still can be an escape.
Glenn, what would you like to mention? Any other activities you want to talk about for winter?
Well, this is a good time for people to do some shopping for their summer activities because a lot of the stores have sales on at this time. You can get a good deal on a bicycle in the winter, and maybe get an indoor trainer. You can jack up the back wheel and practice inside, and then you're ready as soon as the roads are clear.
All right, and we have a quick question. We just have about a minute left. Lynn, can you ask your question quickly?
Yes, I just wanted to know if there was any place that you could play outdoor winter golf.
Anyone know about winter golf? Steve looks a little shocked.
Why would you want to play golf even in the summer? No, I'm sorry. I don't want to offend anyone. But
I'm not sure about winter golf. I know the disc golf courses are open, and there was a Ice Bowl tournament at Forked Run's disc golf course.
Okay. Lynn, do you know something that we don't know or that we should know?
No, I know over in Scotland they use golf as an excuse to get out in the bad weather, and they play year-round and use colored golf balls over there. So I just wondered if there was any place in Ohio that golfs in the snow.
That's something to look into.
I know some of the state parks have got golf courses like Salt Fork, so that might be some place to check.
They do. I suppose on a temperate day in a month or so you might be able to, but I think right now probably not.
All right, and we have 30 seconds. Patty, what is your recommendation?
My recommendation is Malabar Farms. Took our daughter over to Snow Trail to ski last weekend and dropped her and some friends off and needed something to do. So my husband and I took a 15-minute drive and spent the afternoon, had a fabulous tour given by a great tour guide of the farm and the home, and had a cozy warm lunch at the Malabar Inn, even though it was only 16 degrees outside. We were real toasty. They have a wonderful chef there. Would highly recommend that little side trip to anybody, summer or winter.
All right. Thank you very much. And where is Malabar Farms, just location-wise?
Mansfield.
Near Mansfield.
And Mohican State Park is not far from there.
All right.
Stay there and visit.
We are out of time. Thank you very much. You've been listening to All Sides Weekend. Thank you to Steve Stevens, Glenn Beachy, and Jean Bax. Thank you for being here. And thank you to Emma Fett at the controls. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus. And streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820, NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from the estate of Donald R. Glancy, whose life was enriched by public radio and television, and whose bequest seeks to encourage others to discover WOSU public media.